Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Off, I actually heard, I had this coming in, driving into work today. Popped off Boomer and Geo, got the update for Recco, listened to those guys kick it for a little bit. I threw on my old iPhone, and this is what I heard. Mr. Busta, where the bleep you at? All right, BT and Sound on the Fence. You know what's very interesting about this? We'll get back to these Yankee calls. And the Yankees lineup is less than, and the Mets rotation is less than, even more so with these injuries. Now, I think the... let me see if this is going to make sense. I think the Mets rotation is more less than the Yankees lineup is less than. Okay? Meaning I think it's a bit of a bigger weakness than the Yankees lineup right now. And while I'm sitting here preaching patience and prudence for the Yankees, because I do think there's a different level of operation in terms of big moves down the road, I would, for the Yankees with Hal, I would have a different opinion, and I do have a different opinion for what the Mets need to do now. Now, again, not saying, oh, you got to trade for Dylan Cease today, but I just, this rotation now, listen, if it's February 25th for the Yankees or 26th, whatever it is, for the Yankees, it's also February 26th for the Mets. So you got to hold it to the same standard here. But I just think that the Mets rotation, like, just what happens? What happens? I know that it seems unrealistic because he's really, really good. But let's just say Juan Soto, who seems immune to pressing. I got it. But let's just say he presses a little bit first year in Queens. Just say. And he has an April where he's, I don't know, he's not going to hit 190, 243. And you couple that with the Mets rotation, which has given up some runs early on. Not that I think the Mets could be buried in April, but I think it could present enough of a climb where I'm not so sure I'm willing to roll the dice on that. I think the Mets have to get another arm. At least somebody who's serviceable. I mean, there's no way Met fans could disagree with that now. And I think that they will. I don't know that it's going to be Stroman. We were messing around with that yesterday. We saw that on social media. Probably not going to happen. Didn't end well for Stroman with the Mets. But yeah, they got to get another arm. And the Yankees need to see what happens. You know, some of those question marks in the lineup need to resolve themselves, but the good thing is, guys, at least, and there's varying degrees of expectations, though I do think both teams right now are expected to be playoff teams. How nice is this? We're sitting here in February, and while, you know, there's not, it's not like, all right, we're coasting in both the Bronx and Queens. Feel pretty good about both teams. That does not happen very often. You know, and this could be the norm moving forward. That's why Met fans are pumped up. That's what you want. That's what you've waited for. That's what you've craved. That's what you've chased here. You know, year-to-year viability. And we'll see. Seems like you have it. 888-808-1019. All right, the phones are fixed. Thank you. I think they are. No, they're not. No, you got to help me out here. Joe's in the Bronx. What's going on, Joe? How are you today? Joe,
hey,
what's going on, Joe?
Good, man. Good. Thanks for taking the call.
You got it.
So here's my question. When the Yankees got Jazz last year, they didn't move Glaber because they wanted him to be comfortable where he was at second.
Yeah, he didn't want to move.
So, right, and that too.
I'm a second baseman. Now, not a good one, but yeah, you're a second baseman. Anyway, go ahead.
So why are they moving Dominguez when Bellinger said he'll play wherever they put him?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it applies there as well. Well, first of all, I think it's a lot harder myself to go from second base to third base, even though Glaber did play from shortstop, not well, but he did. You know, he was in the middle of the diamond on the other side. Going from second to third is tougher for me than going from center to left. It's just an easier move to me. Now, it might not be easier to Dominguez, and that's all that matters at this right. point, but I don't know. I honestly don't know the answer to that. It's a good question. I don't think it's a season-defining question, because if Dominguez doesn't hit, it doesn't matter where you put him. He's got to prove that he can hit hit. You got hit.
But the thing is, now if they leave him in center where he's comfortable, then he could focus on hitting because he's not in a new position.
No, listen, Joe, I understand it, and thank you for the call, buddy. I appreciate that. This is not new. I mean, I've talked about this. Me and Sal have hit this up. To me, at the end of June, here's my position with Dominguez. I need to know if he can hit. I'm tired of the scouting reports. I'm tired of the nickname Martian. You know, I'm tired of all the hype every single spring. And Dominguez is going to do this. Just do it. Do it. And a lot of young kids around baseball who do it at your age, do it. And I believe he's going to do more than not do it. To what extent, I don't know. No bold, declarations. Whoa, Dominguez is going to be, the 300 hitter with 30 and 40 steals. I don't know. I know he's got easy power. I know he can run. I know he's built like a bull. Let's see how it translates. But I'm going to run him out there. I don't care if he can't catch. I don't care if he's catching pop-ups like T-ball kids whose gloves are the wrong way. Instead of over their heads, it's like under their chin. I don't care. Hit. You got to hit. Let me get John in Valley Stream. John, what's happening, John? How you doing today?
Hey, what's going on, BT?
All good, Johnny. How are you?
BT, you're killing me. You're killing me with this Yankee rotation. You're overrating them. They're good.
Fantastic.
They're good. No, BT. They're okay. Good. They're not great. If you look at, give you a metric, Fangraphs, F4, starting pitching.
Okay.
Yankees are ranked sixth, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Dodgers, Phillies, Braves, Red Sox, Mariners, all ranked higher than the Yankees. And then you want to say that the Yankees are a little more in pitching where the Mets are a little less, or more, the lineup as compared to the lineup and the pitching.
Yep.
Let me give you, I'll give you the Mets, okay, and the Yankees. Mets infield and catcher, ranked third. Yankees, 12th.
Well, but hold on, John, hold on. I'm not even going to push back on that. I think the Mets infield right now is better than the Yankees. But you started with the Yankees pitching, so stick to that. Let me ask you this. Now, listen, is it first? Is it second? Is it fourth? I mean, who knows? We know it's among the better ones on paper. So let me ask you, though. Between Cole, between Fried, between Heel, and between Devin Williams, is it irresponsible to say that the Yankees have four of the, 30, 35 best pitchers in the game? Like, is that an irresponsible, wacky statement? I don't think it is. Do you?
I don't think it's wacky, but I think it's overdoing it.
Well, okay,
You got an aging Gerrit Cole, and I've called you and Sal about this before. You got an aging Gerrit Cole,
yeah.
Right? And let's say, why are we rating the Yankees rotation so high? Because you imported Max Fried. Now, you shouted me down the last time I told you this.
Go ahead.
But if you pull up, do me a favor, have Hoff pull up both their numbers, because everything is production.
Yeah.
You got, and you said, he's no, come on, Nestor Cortez is not Max Fried.
Oh, my
look
God,
at
stop.
BT,
John,
look
I'm not, I can't
production.
Waste time on Cortez versus Max
look
Fried.
Look at their production, but look at the production, though.
I don't need to. I got
production.
Two eyes.
BT, the numbers don't lie.
Hold a sec, John.
Look
hold on, John.
Production
all right, John, let me ask you a question, John. So There's a new baseball league, and for some reason, Nestor Cortes.
Hold on, John.
So, come on, bud. Answer me. Hold on. Let me lay it out, though, buddy. One sec. So there's a new baseball league. You're the general manager of one team. I'm the GM of the other team. And we have access to every starting pitcher. And Max Fried is there, and Cortes is there. You're taking Cortes in front. You're taking Max Fried. Cortes in front of Max Fried. Are you asking?
No, I just told you. Max Fried all day.
Okay, so then what are you doing?
But DT, the numbers, I'm talking about production.
Well, then if the numbers,
John, they were the same guy.
John, if the numbers are so good, then take Cortes.
But DT, we know that Max Fried going forward is going to be the better guy, right?
He's got filthy stuff,
telling
dude.
I'm just telling you, on production, they were the same guy.
You're not listening to me. We're having two different convos, John.
Because you won't look at the numbers.
I look at the field, John. And thank you for the call, buddy. I love the numbers. I embrace numbers. I introduce numbers to conversations. I lean on numbers to help substantiate or maybe further shape an opinion for me if I'm not sure. I don't need numbers, even though I know them. I don't need numbers to reference when I talk about Max Fried and Cortes. Come on, dude. I love you. I love your passion, but that is absolutely, that's unacceptable, John. 888-808-1019, BT and Sound on the Fan. Jumped out of South Carolina. Nick, what's cracking in, Nicky?
Hey, BT. New York greetings from South Carolina, my friend.
I love South Carolina. Big fan. Big Myrtle fan. What's going on?
Well, first I want to shout out to Sal. I hope he gets better.
100%.
Whatever he's going through is temporary, and he's back on the show, and best to him and his family.
He's
going to
be good, man. He made it through health, through Disney and One Piece. This is the easiest part of the equation. He'll be back Monday, so yeah, he's good. I texted him last night, and this morning he's good to go. He's ready.
Wonderful. I want to talk about the Yankees, and I heard you earlier this morning when you were saying about some fans panicking and all that. As I see it, we got two big holes right now before we even think about panicking. One, we have no DH because you know Giancarlo's not coming back.
Yep.
Probably till late June, July.
I don't know when he's coming back, man. I'm not expecting him back. I'm almost expecting the worst case, and hopefully we'll be surprised. But keep going.
Yep. And then the other part is left field. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of guys, especially the younger guys, they love this kid Dominguez. They're after him. But I think maybe some of it was hype because, to me, I watched him 2 years ago. I watched him last year. I even watched a couple of AAA games he had on MLB TV. And he just, you know, even when he's in center field, he's not the greatest fielder out there. Mm-hmm. And in left field, he looks completely lost. So I was thinking, and I want your take on it.
Okay, good.
We had a solid left fielder. He couldn't bat with the you-know-what, but we had a solid left fielder.
I would say,
why can't we go and just sign Verdugo on the cheap for a two-year deal? Have him come back and just play left field just to give us somebody in left field who can catch the ball.
Yeah.
And then put Dominguez as a DH and develop his bat. Because at least if you could develop his bat, you got 50% of him. Because I honestly don't believe this kid is ever going to develop into a average outfielder. I just don't think it's in him. I think he's a good bat, and I think down the road his production is going to be as a DH. But we need to solve left field and patchworking Grissom in there and moving Bellinger over, all that. That's nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
You need to run guys out in the field every day. Give them a day off now and then.
Yep.
And I think if we could go out, get Verdugo on the cheap, get him on a two-year contract. He'll take anything right now because nobody's knocking on his door.
No.
But I'll tell you what, around July, you better believe that guy's going to be a hot commodity because in July, when people get desperate, that's when people like him will make out.
I don't know how we didn't hit a year ago. Listen, I like Verdugo. I like his energy. Thanks for the call there, Nick. He just couldn't hit, man. And that really surprised me. I'm going to have to take the L on that. Not quite the Mirage L chain, but I'll take a smaller L. I mean, when you're a lifetime 281 hitter, which he was going into the season, with a lot of doubles, you know, played some big games. Enough of a resume. It was like it was 1 or 2 years. That he was a professional hitter. I don't know what happened to him. Maybe it was the beard. Hey, Huff, do you remember when Sal put me on the spot with the Verdugo play-by-play? Remember that? I don't even know how it came up.
How do you
Yeah,
do?
But it was like, here's the 2-2 to Verdugo. It is high. It is. Do we have that thing anymore? It is high. It is far. It is gone.
I'm sure we have it somewhere. We'll dig for it.
Verdugo does it. How do you do? Verdugo with a two-run bomb, and the Yankees take a 3-2 lead. Yeah, listen, Verdugo's, I like him. If he would have hit a little bit more, I'd say sure. And by the way, if he would have hit a little bit more, the Yankees may have been inclined to already bring him back. I'm trying to remember when we had Boone in studio. Did we ask, was this on the air or off the air? When we asked Boone about Verdugo. Huff, Dove, do you remember on or off?
I don't remember, so I'm assuming that's going to be off.
I feel like it was off when I was going down the elevator with him. And it was off. And I'm like, how'd you like managing Verdugo? And he laughed. And, it was a laugh where it was kind of like a mixed bag. Definitely not a bad laugh. Definitely not a like, an amazing laugh. We got to bring him back. But kind of like you get a little bit of everything with Verdugo laugh. But not the kind of laugh or reaction that to me signified they would be opposed to it if they were in a real pinch, but I don't see that happening. Let me get Mario in Long Beach, get back to the phones, BT and Sal. Mario, what's happening?
Hi, good. A great show as always.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, look, Verdugo, it's very interesting. He's a great fielder, too. I mean, and if you look, I was just looking at his stats now that you were talking about him. In 2020, he had 289. Yep. He had 308 in 2020.
I know.
288. So I look at last year as an aberration. I think if they brought him back, he's going to hit 270. The 233 is a once-in-a-lifetime.
Mario, why I would respectfully disagree, I don't have that in front of me, but I've looked at them enough. I know the previous year was a little down as well, so now that's kind of 2 years in a row where it's down. What was he at the previous year? Do you have it?
Previous year was 264, so that's not too bad.
Yeah, well, it's not too bad, but it's basically 15, 16 points off his average from 281, 282, and then you follow up, a little slight decrease, and then, down again big time last year. That ship has sailed. You could do better than Verdugo. And I like him, but you could do better than Verdugo.
What I like about him, too, also, he's had a couple of big hits, and also he's a very good fielder.
I know he is. He's a great fielder.
He made a lot of good plays in the outfield.
I agree. Know? He's a terrific fielder. Thanks for the call, Mario. Appreciate it. He's a great fielder. I mean, to play in the stands in the World Series, my God, it was ridiculous. How about Jimmy in Babylon? Of course, we know what happened after
that. Hey, guys, what's up? Thanks for taking my call.
What up, Jim?
Hey, what's up? So I just wanted to bring up a point about left field in Yankee Stadium. It's no joke. It's not like right field. Right field, my grandma could hit a home run, blah, blah, blah. Left field is no joke. Brett Gardner's been a Yankee for 10 years because, he's been there for 10 years because the left field's no joke.
No, I know. So I don't think that's breaking news. We know it's tough out there. It's big, man.
I think a lot of people don't realize that, though. Like,
you might, yeah.
Basically a center field.
Yeah, I think that you're right, Jimmy. And I think I appreciate the call. I think people realize it. I don't think it gets a lot of mention because you still catch the ball. It's one thing, the hard play, but Dominguez made some mistakes on easy plays. I think that's where.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy!
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
The criticisms come in. No. I left field is tough. Not to mention the Sun during the day games. I mean, even, you know, Bernie and O'Neill, those guys would talk about it even though Paul wasn't right. You know, Darren when he was out there left, Shane Spencer, Ricky Ledeay, like, you know, the old stadium. Left field is just, it's tough. It might be the toughest left field in baseball, matter of fact. But you're a pro. I mean, it's not like you're asking Paul Goldschmidt to play left field at the age of 37, weighing 240 pounds. You're asking a fleet-footed 21-year-old stud, center fielder by trade in Dominguez, to adjust to left field. I mean, that should be doable. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal on the Fan. We got 3RQ coming up this hour. I want to reference a Giants tweet. I'll do that coming up that I saw that is very interesting. A little something on Muji and the Jets later on in the show. And not only Carl Anthony down, is he going to be down tonight? Is he going to be down a while? So a little mixed up as well. BT and Sal on the Fan.
Somebody rocking, knocking devil. Give me some good.
All right, BT and Sal, 11:28 on the Fan. Hoff is playing Saturday night music. A little Saturday night vibe at home when the kids are sleeping, huh? Little baby making music here. All right, couple of one Giant note, one Jet note. Get back to the Yankee calls as well. 3RQ coming up next segment. BT and Sal on the Fan. 888-808-1019. First, the Giant note. Now, I spent a lot of time on Stafford yesterday and what I think the Giants could do, what I think the Giants should do. This is all on, obviously, on the podcast. Free Odyssey app. Check it out. WFA on YouTube. You want to go watch it from yesterday. I think you guys will like it. Presented a lot of options. I'm all in. Well, I mean, maybe all in is strong, but I believe the Giants should absolutely go and get Stafford. $50 million seems like it's a lot of money. It's not. There's a $20 million increase in the salary cap. So I believe the Giants have thought and aligned themselves with that mindset now for a little bit. I believe that's their first target, and I believe that will be the right move. And I feel a little bit better about that opinion. I saw this tweeted a couple of hours ago. Jordan Renan had this, obviously covers the Giants. He wrote from the combine, it's pretty clear after a couple of days in Indianapolis that the Giants' top priority quarterback is Matthew Stafford. See what happens with him and the Rams and move on from there. Yep. Listen, he's not going to be on the Rams next year. Just not. He's not. When you give somebody permission to seek another trade and talk about contracts, the writing is on the wall. He's gone. And, you know, I know that there's some hesitation there from Giants fans. Well, you know, they're not ready to win a Super Bowl, which I agree with. And now he's 37. This feels more like a Jets move. You guys need to have a functional offense here. You just do. Now, if you love Sanders, I don't know if they do. Now you start to see the Jets maybe connected to Sanders at 7 if he falls. No, thank you. And not to diss the young man. I don't think he's as good as others do. But I think Stafford's a really good move. It stabilizes the building. He is a tireless worker. He's a locker room guy. He's a pro's pro. He's got juice in the arm. He can still go and win games. He'll elevate the building, elevate the young kids, neighbors, etc. Theo Johnson. That's what I would do. All right, so that's the Giants angle. This is not exactly news, but really just more of a reinforcement of how pathetic the Jets have been. So Rich Samini tweeted this. Now, it's going to change with Mooch, hopefully, and Aaron Glenn. But Samini tweeted this earlier. The NFLPA just released its annual player report. The Jets did not do well. These are my words here. What a stunner. It's basically the annual player report card. All right. Things that jump out. Wow, the Jets actually have a pretty decent nutritionist and dietitian. B+, 13th in the NFL. The locker room is a D+, which to me is weak. I know MetLife is gross, but I think the locker room, I'm guessing they mean the structure and not the energy in the locker room. I think the Jets locker room, both at Florham Park and at MetLife, is fine. I think it's pretty nice. I think it's pretty good. I would disagree with that. All right, training room, whatever. Training staff, whatever. Strength coach is B. Team travel, C+. What, they don't play? They don't stay at a good enough hotel? See, some of this stuff is stupid. What, the Woody's charter's not good enough? Yeah, Hoffa, you're reaching for the mic. Go ahead.
No, I'm looking at
the ownership.
Rosenblatt put out some stuff too.
Oh, okay, get to that in a sec. Hold on. So this is Rich, and this is not his interpretation. This is just the literal ranking and the grade the NFLPA put out. So the only good grades would be the nutritionist and the dietitian, the strength coaches, and the head coach. I guess that's it couldn't be last year. That's for sure. So it's got to be Aaron Glenn getting a nice B. But how about ownership? F. 32nd in the NFL. And, you know, listen, it doesn't change until it changes, until Woody can keep his fingerprints off this and keep his kids away. And we'll see. And I think he's going to start laying out. I hope. But they deserve that F. Now, who was it again?
So Rosenblatt has some similar things, but just a little bit more expanded with, like, quotes from the report.
Okay.
He said, like, rather than addressing concerns, players believe that management responded to feedback by making conditions worse.
Okay.
The Jets ownership grade dropped from a B- to an F, with Woody Johnson receiving the league's lowest owner score for contributing to a positive team culture.
And it was a B- last year at this time?
Yeah.
I mean, that was way off. Oh. This seems more accurate. Sorry, Wood.
The players feel that Johnson does not contribute to a positive team culture, rank of 32 of 32.
But last year he did. That's what I make still. Okay, so.
Well, maybe it wasn't as high as that.
Well, he did fire people mid-season, and the Rodgers met. Yeah, there was a lot of noise. I could see the drop, but I don't think it was ever as high as it shouldn't have been ever a B-. I think the F is more reflective of who he's been so far, unfortunately. What else you got?
And finally, owner Woody Johnson's average rating for perceived willingness to invest in the facilities is a 5.58 out of 10 from Jets players, a ranking of 32 out of 32 owners in the league.
I think that's unfair. Now, to say that I've been to all the other facilities, I haven't been, but you've been to the Giants facility. Have you ever been to the Giants?
Of course I've been to the Giants.
That's what I meant. You have not been to the Jets a million times at the Giants. I mean, not to diss the Giants facility. The Giants facility stinks. Honestly, the practice field stinks. It stinks.
But this is from Jets players.
No, I understand that, but I'd like to know, like, true, and it's obviously subjective. I'm not saying what they should grade it, but the only other one that I see regularly is the Giants. To me, the Jets Florham Park is like an A++. Florham Park is beautiful.
Have you been through the ins and outs, like the locker rooms
of the Jets and the
training rooms?
The Jets?
Like that? Yes.
Many times. Okay. It's been a while.
Have you been through Quest Diagnostic? Because I see that. I mean, they look really nice.
Yes, but not the training area, the dining area, some of the meeting rooms, the practice field. Enough to feel. It's not horrendous, but I'm just. It feels old. It feels outdated. It doesn't feel very rich. It doesn't feel befitting of the Giants, like that aura, like that Yankee like aura. It just feels a little less than. Now, I haven't been to many around the country. I was at the Lions years ago when they opened up that one in, what was that suburb in Detroit? I'm forgetting it right now. But that was a pretty nice facility when they moved from the Silverdome to Allen Park, maybe? Do I have that right? Deer Park, one of those. I don't know. Who cares? Just win, and you get A's. I'll tell you what does get an A. The host on WFAN ripping the Jets when they lose. That's about as good as it gets. Let me get Stevie in Bayside, BT and Sound on the Fan. What's up, Steve? Steve, you ready? Steve, let's go.
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, buddy.
I'm ready. Look, for the people that are complaining about this roster, not loving it, the roster, they also have to remember this roster is not complete. And the Yankees and Brian Cashman, I thought, did an amazing job leaving himself a lot of optionality for future moves down the road. I don't know if people have noticed, but they've had Ben Rice catching in spring training.
Oh, yeah.
I think the plan is that they're going to have Goldie do no more than 4 or 5 days a week, Ben Rice backing him up, maybe getting some reps at catcher. Yep. Maybe Ben Rice can play 3 or 4 days a week. They see what they have in Ben Rice. They believe that the guy's going to hit. They think that he could be this year's Austin Wells. If they have that, then first base is solved for years and years to come. Same thing, third base, look, right now they're going to see what they have with LeMahieu, Cabrera.
They can wait and say they got nothing. Third base is a mess. Third base is awful.
They're going to see what they have.
They got nothing. Let me spare everybody the suspense. Third base will stink until they do something.
Well, you know, we're going to play that out.
Hold on. Play what out? You think DJ can play?
I haven't seen it in a number of years.
Yeah, so you know what I'm saying, Steve. Third base is by far the weakest position.
But look, they're going to finish that thought. By mid-season, you don't know, maybe Vivas breaks out. Maybe they have an internal option. Maybe they go external and trade for somebody.
Yeah,
so
that's what I said.
You know, look, somebody was asking Hal Steinbrenner the other day. They were saying that, you know, how can you justify spending, I think, the same or less money after going to the World Series? He was like, well, hey, look, the season's not over. Tell me how much we spent at the end of the year, and then we can talk.
That's exactly what I'm saying, Steve. And that's what I said to start the show. That should be now, today, enough for Yankee fans. Now, there's going to come a point where if that's the case and they need to address things and they don't, then that will not be enough. And it should not be enough. Awful World Series appearance. Right now, I'm fine with that. And I read a pretty good article on Ben Rice yesterday. And you do see this a lot over the years. God, I mean, even going back to when I was a kid. You know, so-and-so reported to training camp or spring training, the best shape of his career. He's ready for a massive bust out. And I saw something similar on Ben Rice yesterday where Ben Rice put on basically 20 pounds of good functional upper body muscle weight. And, it was good because it talked about how he hasn't caught in a while and how he really wore down a year ago and how he lost, 15, 20 pounds and how, he just had to get stronger. And, some of the coaches said the ball's got a little more thump off his bat. We'll see. I'll get too wrapped up in that. But I would at least say that Ben Rice is an option. Goldschmidt is having a rough, a rough week or you're facing a nasty righty with a tough slider. Sit him down. Ben Rice could play first base. Wells behind the plate. Although I don't like and Steve, don't take this the wrong way. The word optionality, doesn't it just drive you nuts? Do you hear that geek, the new Jacksonville Jaguars general manager? Did you hear this cut the other day? They played it on the morning show. Oh, my God. The phrases that this nerd was throwing out. It was like, dude. Just speak like a human being. I'm not saying you can't be intelligent. You don't need to feign, meatheadness if you're really smart. If you have a good vocabulary, you have it? Hold on. If you have a good vocabulary, use it. I love my words. But we have it. Just listen to this guy. I don't even know what his name is. With the Jaguars, their new GM. Go ahead.
We will prioritize people and players that are intangibly rich.
Oh, God.
And by doing so, they will elevate our ecosystem, our team, by being nothing more than themselves.
Oh, dude. Intangibly rich and elevate our ecosystem. Dude. I mean, I know you probably never put a hand in the dirt in your life. But you're not in the boardroom. Dude, you're a football executive. Just a little verbiage that people can relate to. Intangibly rich. And I know what he means, and It's actually a smart way of life. He's trying to find that abundance of players that are smart and emotionally invested and adaptable, whatever, coachable, the intangibles. Yeah, okay, great. So you're intangibly rich. Just say we want guys that, Say whatever you want, but then I can say whatever I want when you say whatever you want. Intangibly rich. And the ecosystem's worse. Where do they get these people? That's the problem with sports. I mean, I know the Parcellses and those guys, the ones we love there. You know, Bill, of course, still with us, thank God. But, you know, the Shulas and the older, even Belichick. All right, I get it's a different day. Ecosystem? Ugh. If that guy was ever hired by the Jets, I would have destroyed his press conference. Destroyed it. College hoops. Wait, we have 3RQ up next, right? Hoff? Good ones, bad ones? Scale of 1 to 10. What's the number on the 3RQ questions? Sal's very good at this. What's the number?
Compared to last time I did this, I think it's better, but it's still like a 2.5.
2.5. So, as always, Hoff is locked in.
A good question.
Three random questions.
Let's find out.
With Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata.
One, two, three.
On The Fan.
All righty, Hoff. What do you got there, buddy? Let's see if you put some work in today or you just mailed it in like always. Let's go, Hoffy.
All right, first question. What is the one thing that you love that is considered, quote-unquote, geeky?
Considered geeky?
Yes.
That's a good one. Boy, I usually don't have to, like, dig deep and self-reflect too deep on this. That is considered geeky. I don't know if this... Boy, that's a tough one. I mean, I wanted you to step it up. I don't know if you want to make it impossible.
Are you geek-less? Is that what,
no,
it, that's
no,
what you're
no, not at all. I actually am a little more geeky than you think with certain things. Well, I mean, I wouldn't consider this geeky. Like, I get lost in, because it's specific to sports, but it's geeky from a sports perspective. Like, I get lost in TikTok stuff, baseball drills, and the mechanics of the swing. But that's not geeky. I do love the weather, and I dive very deeply into it. I do, I mean, I follow finance every day. That's not geeky. That's just maybe being well-rounded.
That's trying to cash in.
Yeah, true. I know. God, geeky. I am coming up empty here.
All right,
I'll not saying I am not without geekness.
I just started doing this.
Go ahead.
And I'm totally bought in.
Okay.
I've been making puzzles.
Making puzzles, not answering puzzles, making them.
Making them.
That's pretty interesting. That's next level right there. I used to do the New York Times crossword puzzles for a while.
No, like puzzles, like the actual like pieces.
Oh, piecing them together. Oh, yeah. You know, we do that at home. Is that geeky?
Oh, I think so.
Yeah, it's great for the young kid's mind. It really opens things up.
Oh, who cares about the kids? It's just for me.
No, I'm saying, but it's good for the kids too.
Yeah,
that's a tough one. I mean, I don't know that I gave. It's probably one of the worst answers I've ever had. I wish I had a little more for you,
Dove. What's the geekiest thing for you?
Well, I wonder about BT. You always say your taste in music is not the coolest. Some of the songs.
Say that.
No, he does not say
that. I never said that once.
Some of the songs you like, you hate admitting you like them.
Oh! Okay.
All right.
Now, if we're going to substitute geeky for corny, then I could get behind what Dove is saying.
All right, fine. Name me the corny.
I'm still on a little Grease kick. I listened to Grease after Jerry's record, Jerry's
update.
But
that's kind of geeky too, no?
It's kind of corny, really, is what it is. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, no, I've got some songs that would just probably make you change your opinion of me, and I don't care.
Yeah, you told me about it already.
Grease, I told you so.
Grease 2.
Yeah, Grease 2, Cool Rider.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Listen, Michelle Pfeiffer, fine, but the fact that you graduated from Grease 1 to Grease 2.
Oh, if there was a Grease 3, I'd be watching it in the theater, I promise you. Same with Star Wars 39 and Rocky 22. What do you got?
All right, next one.
Yes.
Sitting in traffic on a nice day, beautiful day. But so it's in traffic. Are you a roll the windows down and blast the music type of guy?
No, I wouldn't say blast the music. I am a sunroof open no matter what. Like, I'm already at the point now, driving home today, not driving in because it was still like in the 40s. Driving home today, sunroof will be open. And I don't like to have the windows down because then the noise forces me to put the volume up a little bit more. And I'm not cranking it like I'm 19 years old. No. Or even older than that. But no, I mean, I loud enough where I can hear it, but where it's not, I don't know if offensive is the right word, but doesn't necessarily bleed into other cars. But to take in the elements and to have the sunroof open, I'm all about it, man. If I could get open, listen, if I'm in a fire pit in January in my backyard when it's 12 degrees out, you know that I'm open. Yeah, I mean, if it's 51 degrees out or 48 degrees out, I got the sunroof jammed wide open. Love it.
No, I love blasting the music. My wife knows that I'm coming up the block from a mile away because
still do that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Even around the city when I'm looking for parking, I just jack that music up. Who cares?
All right.
And I sing, too, so get ready. Final question. How do you react when you're in a normal conversation and someone uses big words?
I generally understand what they mean. No, honestly, not to sound like a jerk, but I do. I mean, that's one thing that kind of came naturally for me, like the verbal stuff. I've told you, anytime this comes up, like, I would look at math equations and my mind would just, it wouldn't connect. And I don't mean like, what's 8 times 8 or 9 times 7 or 7 times 6? I don't mean that big. Just the other stuff, I couldn't get there. There was just there were too many roadblocks. I didn't like it. I didn't understand it. But words have always made sense to me, so I appreciate it. So maybe there's my geekiness. I am I have an affinity for a well-spoken individual. What about you? I know you don't understand what's going on. Yeah, so hopefully you get the context and you can piece it together at least.
When you talk half the time, I have to check out because
stop.
I have no idea what you're saying. Yes.
Stop.
It's big words.
You don't think I use a lot of big words on the show, do you?
Are you...
Big words or?
Yes.
Well, I mean, maybe big to you.
No.
Dove, let me ask Dove. Dove, I really value your opinion on this. You're an intelligent man.
I don't think you use really big words. I do think it's not the normal verbiage for a sports talk show host.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Big words.
No. Yeah. Ooh, Jets. Ooh. Austin Wells, Matt Forth. Ooh. You know who uses big words too? And I love them. And sometimes I would call him out. He misuses it. I'm not saying I never misuse words. Tiki. He misuses some of those big ones, Tiki. You know, Tiki's brilliant. Tiki's Virginia. Tiki's legitimately a smart human being. Tiki's more of the math and space variety, in my opinion, more so than the verbal. He will drop some words, and it will be wrong.
Have you had to correct him?
No. Well, I wouldn't. I mean, when I was working with him, no, I mean.
I hear Tiki correct Evan and Sean all the time.
Does he?
Yeah, but again, here's the other thing, too. They're not even using big words. They're just using words that they just don't remember how to use.
Those guys are nuts.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got an example for Tiki. I've got an example.
Uh-oh.
No, not at all. It's not a knock. So, you know, commensurate. You know what the word commensurate with means? Do you know what it means somewhat?
Commencing, yes.
It's like kind of like equal to or whatever. It's just such a dope sometimes. I know he knows. He's just playing the fool. Commensurate. He will say commiserate instead of commensurate.
I'm going to nail him on that when
Watch.
He comes by.
Text him. You produced him. You got his number. Text him.
I will text him.
All the other stuff, top notch. Bro, legitimately wanted to be an astronaut. And the bandwidth and the brain power to do it. Leave the verbal stuff to me, Tiki.
Do you think that Tiki will find his way up in outer space eventually? I mean, now that with the Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk.
He loves it, man.
There's access to rocket ships. So,
he loves it. He really loves it. He wanted to be an astronaut. Like, people think, you know, I think they know this by now because he's been on WFAN long enough. But, like, I remember when I first started with Tiki, he's like, dude, I'm a geek. I'm like, because I didn't really know him. I'm like, what are you kidding me? He's a stud running back. He looked like a stud. Yeah, I mean, what a geek. He is. He truly is a nerd. He's what? Dove, you know him? He's got great curiosity.
Correct.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think he would sooner go into a 3D virtual simulation of space than go in the actual spaceship.
Well, he's a great family guy, so he's not leaving his family 6 to 9 months. That's what it takes to get to Mars. I mean, can I see him at some point strapping on a spacesuit and going somewhere? I actually could.
Yeah,
I really could.
He's already been in the water once with a great white, so I feel like he's open to.
Well, I don't even know that story. He was in a cage, obviously.
Yeah, I he was in a cage. He did it for like CBS, I think. Like,
Gotcha. NBC, you mean? Right?
Yeah, or something like that. I don't remember. He did it for something. I don't remember the exact story. One of the TV networks he was working for, they made him go, or asked him, I guess, to go into a cage dive with a shark.
Was that in South Africa? Was that in Australia? Where was it? Was it off the Verrazano Bridge?
It was great white shark, so that was legit.
I know. Would you do that in a cage?
I would do it without a cage.
No, you. There's, I'm calling nonsense. BS. No, I would totally do it.
I might die, but I would definitely do it.
You would jump into a shark-infested water.
Yes.
No, and not like sand sharks.
No, great white.
No, I don't. I would totally do it.
Totally do it.
No, you wouldn't.
Just give me a pitchfork. We're all good.
Well, by the way, if you're going to do it with great whites, because a bull shark is more aggressive. Like, we think great white because of Jaws. I'm not saying great white can't, like, color outside the lines and eat you. But, like, a bull shark and a tiger shark are more inclined to attack humans. More, yes. Much more so than great whites.
Yes. But I would definitely do it. I know you don't believe me on this, but I would. I'm dying to do it, actually.
Well, give it a shot. And if you don't make it, we'll find a new producer.
You got to take Tom in Monmouth. He has a mathematician type of thing for you.
Tommy's in Monmouth. Tommy, what's happening?
How are you, BT?
Hi, Tom.
So, first and foremost, I do appreciate your genius. We'll put it that way.
Yeah, definitely not that, but
hey,
okay.
Real quick, I got to correct something on you. So you're just bringing up that comment about the times tables and all this and that as far as math?
Yeah.
Today's common math, there's no more times tables. The entire country teaches Common Core math.
I know.
There's
my kids are in it. Times table. That's great. That's great. So they can teach whatever.
No moss anymore, my friend.
That's all right. They can teach whatever they want. And I know, because I see what my kids come home with. They're in the third and fourth grade, and I still hammer them with, what's 9 times 9? 81. What's 8 sevens? 56. What's 9 sevens? 63. Tom, that's what my dad would do. The way my kids... Thanks for the call. Yeah, Common Core, man. What the hell are we doing? This stupid stuff. It really is stupid. Learn how to write. Learn how to read. Learn how to have interpersonal skills. Learn how to do public speaking. You need math for. You got calculators. Math. I absolutely detest math. I hate it. Now, the guy in the room next to me is smart. He went to the only high school better than mine in Manhattan. The Catholic variety, Regis. I'll give him the nod there. Although we used to destroy him in baseball. They were awful. Do you like math?
I do not like math.
That surprises me, because I know you did well on your SATs. Mine was so imbalanced. Oh, my God. It was ridiculous, the imbalance there. Did math make sense to you when you were young? Like, early?
Yeah. I mean, math was not a struggle for me, but I also don't think that I never liked it, and I took no, like, extra math class along the way. I never took, like, stats or anything like that.
Gotcha.
High school or college.
Do you think people are born with a natural proclivity? There's a word for you, Dovey. You like that one? To be, maybe a little bit more in tune with math?
Absolutely.
I think that you're right. And I'd love, like, why, though?
I mean, the only class that I've ever, the only class I dropped in college was econ, because, like, I just didn't get it. And then, like, I had friends, and that's what half my friends do, is something in stock markets, whatever. And, like, yeah. I just don't get it. It doesn't make sense.
Well,
it makes my
head
hurt.
You would have made a lot more money than we'll make it in sports radio.
Probably true.
Even if you only knew half of it.